Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and Romans 6, 23, which we all probably know that. But Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Great scripture. His grace for us. You know, has anybody here, we've all had many Christmases together. I mean, we've all had many Christmases with your families, right? As little children to when you've grown up to be an adult, you've all seen presents underneath your tree. And is there any time that you have never opened one of the gifts? Have you ever just left a gift underneath the tree and like, you know what, that's my gift, but I'm just going to leave it there and not open it? So we open every gift, right? We open every gift. Have you ever peeked at the gift? You opened it up and it's like, man, I don't want that gift. I'm not even going to open it. I know what that is. It was always the box of clothes. You know what the box of clothes looks like? You all know that, right? Our kids know the box of clothes. That it's that one box that, like, you don't even need to peek in it because it is closed. And you save those for last, right? You ever been there? Is there gifts, you know, the big gifts that you would open, you'd peek at because you wanted to see. You knew what you asked for. You wanted to see. You would pull the tape back just a little bit. Or you would hide to go look in your mom's closet, or you'd go look in the places where she had them before she wrapped them, right, so you knew. And so you'd peek, like, man, I'm excited for that gift. And you'd tape it back. You would always open that gift because you wanted that gift, right? Well, here's the thing. Today's message is about unopened gifts. So we all have gifts that we have opened, and then we put them in a closet or maybe not use them. Has there ever been any gifts that, man, I really didn't want that gift, right? You ever had that gift that you put in a closet? You opened it. Oh, thank you, man. I just love that gift. And you put it in a closet. And then you forget about the gift, right? You ever forget about those gifts? And then it's like, oh, you run across it. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember that gift. And you stick it back in the closet. Or maybe it's a gift that you would use occasionally. Maybe it's a gift that you would put away for, maybe it's a cookware, maybe it's a something. It's a gift that you would only use maybe once a year. And you would get it out to use it during that time. You know, the Lord told me I talked to another person in our church, and the Lord gave me unopened gifts as a title for today's message. But there's a gift that we do not open as Christians very often. It's a gift that is always there with you, but we don't use it very often. Can anybody guess that gift? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You know, today as Christians, what gifts do we leave unopened or unused from our Father in heaven? What is those gifts that we leave unused, unopened? Do we have the gift of joy in our heart? Do we have the gift of hope? Do we have those gifts before us? Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." What's the manifestation of the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit that lives in you. What is it for? It is not for just you. It is for the profit of the community. It is the profit of everyone that you all come in contact with. For one, it is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Every gift, each one of us, we might not carry all those gifts, but the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. And there is times that the Holy Spirit can use you to give a word of wisdom, to give knowledge to someone, to lay hands on them for sick. You know, there's so many things that we can do, the gifts that we have been placed in us, and we forget to use them. And we put them in the closet, and we don't use those gifts that he's distributed to us. Listen to this. In John 16, 7 through 15, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Jesus had to go away. He was the gift. Jesus was the gift to the world. He was the son. He was the babe in a manger that came to deliver us from our sin. He came to set us free from the captivity that the enemy had been placed on us. Not only 2,000 years ago, but today is the same way that he came to deliver the people that don't know him, to bring knowledge. We're supposed to bring knowledge to the people that don't know him, and he will set the captives free. He will do more than set the captives free. He will heal the brokenhearted. He will mend the families together. He will bring sons and daughters back to their moms and dads. He will bring the sons back to their dads and the dads back to their sons. And all this thing that goes on, he will heal the land. He says, "For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because of the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you." He's talking to the disciples. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the thing. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Now, why I was thinking about this? Because I've been thinking about this as well. Not just the unopened gift, but. But sometimes, you know, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And we all know the Father and we all know the Son. But how many really know the Holy Spirit? How many of us really know that there is a separate entity? They're linear, they're the same authority in each one of them, but they are linear. But, you know, when we get in trouble, we go to the Father. You know, when Owen went through his time a few weeks ago, about a month ago, when he went through his time about a month ago, me and Tabby come in and we talked about it as we came into the sanctuary and we begin to knock the door of the heaven. We just begin to knock the door of heaven and we begin to call to the Father and say, "God, this is what you called. This is what you said. This is the covenant that you made with us." And we begin to fight and fight and fight for God to move. I didn't go to the Son, but I went to the Father. You know, there's times that I go to the Son. I go to Jesus, you know, he said, "Ask anything in my name and I shall be given to you." And there's times I do that, but how many times do I go to Holy Spirit? How many times do you guys go to the Holy Spirit? The gift that was given, because Jesus said, if I don't ascend, I can't send the gift of the Holy Spirit. I can't send the Comforter into the earth. But it's good for you that I go away so I can send him into the earth. Do we actually have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? It's a gift that has been given to you that we do not open very often. You know, here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit, when you accept Christ as your Savior, the free gift of God is the Son. That when you accept him and believe in him, he comes and resides in you through what? Through the Holy Spirit. And he what? He convicts you of things that you should not do. He gives you wisdom when you read the Word of God. He gives you wisdom and understanding and revelation of the Word that comes forth as you read. But then there's times when we need the Holy Spirit, we forget about him. See, the Holy Spirit is just like, it's just like he's there. Sometimes, you know, as a husband and wife, your husband is just there. Right? Your wife is just there sometimes. It's like, yeah, they're sitting in the chair. Yeah, they're there, right? Or she's in the kitchen. Yeah, they're there. But there's really no communication. But you know that they're there. Holy Spirit is like that sometimes. You just know he's there, but you really don't interact with him very often. And this is a gift that God wants you to open and continually to know. It can't be the gift that you stick in a closet. It can't be the gift that you put on top of the top shelf and only see it every once in a while. The Holy Spirit is the truth of God in this earth. Listen to this in John 14, 12 through 26. Now, this will be out of the Passion Translation, but I like the way it says it. It says, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. This is Jesus speaking. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another Savior. What is he saying? He will give you one just like me. It says Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth. He will be to you a friend just like me. Listen to that. Listen to that. He will be to you a friend. What is a friend? Is it a friend that someone that we communicate with? Is a friend someone that we interact with? A friend is someone that we can talk to. We can bear our burdens upon him. That we can ask him anything and he will be there for us. A good friend will fight for you. A good friend will stand up with you. A good friend will stand when you're in the wrong, but you're going against something and he will stand with you anyway. This is the Holy Spirit. He is supposed to be our friend. He is there for us. Not just this Holy Ghost, people want to say. Not just this ghost out there in the world that's everywhere in the world. But he directly lives inside of you. That is the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. But we don't use the Holy Spirit like we should. And I'm one of those two that I'm learning. And I know that some of you, I've talked about, we're going to be in a fast on January 5th. We're going to start a fast. And if you guys want to start a fast, this is when we're going to start. We're going to do 21 days. If you want to start, you can start, finish, whatever you want to, if the Lord tells you. But this is where I'm going into a place of understanding Holy Spirit, because I want the wisdom of God in my spirit. I want the knowledge of truth in my heart. I want to be able to walk out like the disciples walked out into the highways and byways when Jesus sent them out two by two. I asked the question, here's the question I asked. I said, Lord, what were the disciples, how was their attitude when they walked out two by two? And then they came back and they said, even the demons know who we are. Even the demons flee us. Man, we were healing the sick. We were doing this. What were they saying? What were they doing? Where was their confidence at? Where was their faith at? How did they react and respond? How am I supposed to react? Like because the Holy Spirit was with them when they went out. And so that is some of the questions that I ask myself. And through this fast, I want to get into a depth of the Holy Spirit. I want to get into the depth of a relationship with the Father that I've never been in before. And so that's where I'm going. But here's what I've neglected. I've neglected Holy Spirit to a point. I know he's been with me. I know he's guided me. I know he's walked with me. I know he's opened doors for me. And I've walked through every door that he opened. But what doors has he opened for you? And what things has he done for you that we forget about him so many times? And it says, he will send the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. If I can find it, just like me. Let me get rid of this. And he will never leave you. Who will never leave you? Holy Spirit will never leave you. The world will not receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you know him and intimately. You will know him intimately. What's that mean? To know him, that you know him, that you know him as you would know your wife or your husband intimately. Do you really know the Holy Spirit intimately? Because he remains with you and will live inside you. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you soon. This is Jesus saying, I will come back to you at some point in time. He hasn't came back yet, and he is coming back again. And that very soon and very shortly, he is coming back, closer than we've ever been. Soon I will leave this world, and they will see me no longer. But you will see me because I will live again, and you will come alive too. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me. For I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commandments. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love him in return and reveal myself to him. Then one of the disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it you only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone else? And Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. But those who do not love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of the Father. I'm telling you this while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name. And he will inspire you to remember every word that I have ever told you. Listen to that. How many rely on the Holy Spirit in your life? I mean, and you have intimate relationship with him. Because, you know, there's times that I walk out in the highways and byways, and it's like, Lord, I know, I feel the compassion. You see the kid. Sometimes I'll walk into stores or wherever we're at, and you'll see the kid in the wheelchair, young child in a wheelchair, and you just have compassion. That your heart breaks for the child. Because you want to walk out like Jesus did. You want to walk out like the disciples did and say, get up in the name of Jesus. Rise up in the name of Jesus. What stops us from doing that? I think that's fear. I think that's fear of not knowing the gift that we haven't opened up fully. Sometimes we haven't used the gift. You know, there's directions with the gifts. Sometimes I know you dads are going to be putting together gifts, or granddads are going to be putting together gifts for the children. You know, how many read the directions? How many look at the box, right? You look at the box. If that don't work, you kind of toss it around. Then the last thing you do is look at the directions, right? But we need to find the directions of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. We need to find those directions. And if we can't find them there, then what we need to do is go and get with the Holy Spirit and say, I need to understand you. I need to know what you're really like. I need to know what your heart is for this situation. I need to know how to do this certain thing, because I am lost. I've looked at the box. I've looked at the outside of the Bible. I've looked at the inside of the Bible, and I'm still lost on how to do this thing. So the Holy Spirit, will you show me? And the Bible says that he will give us all wisdom. He will give me understanding of the things that I do not know. He will bring the kingdom of heaven down in my spirit. He will teach me all things, is what the Bible tells me. But there's things in the Bible that I miss and I don't understand, and it's like, God, I don't understand this, so give me the revelation. And who's that giving you the revelation? Holy Spirit. And so you begin to interact with Holy Spirit each and every day. You begin to understand who he is. You begin to understand his character. You begin to understand when you grieve him. You know, there's so many people in this world that only know Father and Son. They only know Father and Son. And but they are all one. So when you speak to the Son, you're speaking to all three of them. Or if you speak to the Father, you're speaking to all three of them. But the Bible says that Jesus is seated where? Where's the Holy Spirit at? In the earth. Where's the Father at? In heaven. So if they are all one, which they are, but the Holy Spirit is in the earth. So we need to stay in contact with him. We need to understand that he is a real living being in the earth. The Bible tells us that God gave us a gift. And is there anyone that's not saved in this place today? Is anybody that's never accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior? Anyone? Everybody has had the free gift of God, right? The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. The free gift that each one of us take. The free gift that each one of us say, you know what? I want everlasting life. I want to live forever in eternity with the Father. I want to be in worship with the Father every day. Then it goes on in 17. It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it for the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what the free gift of God is. That's the free gift that Jesus came into the earth as a babe so you could be set free. Anyone who believes. Anyone. And you know what? Here's the thing. That gift right there is probably enough for a lot of people. There's a lot of people sitting in the churches today that gift is only one they've ever opened. That gift right there is the only one that they've said, you know what, this is what I need. I need eternal life, but I'm not going to open any other gifts. I don't even know about the other gifts. They're still sitting underneath the tree unopened. Maybe because they don't understand, maybe because they don't know, maybe because they've never been taught, maybe because they've never opened up the Word. But it is the free gift. It is the free gift of God. I put this, I said, but it's like opening a gift on Christmas, then putting it in the closet, only to find it at times when looking for something else, just to put it back in the closet again. I see a lot of people, and you guys know as well, if you ask them if they're saved, they'll say yes. But then you watch the fruit of their life, and you tell that they've put that gift right back in the closet. Because the fruit does not reveal the nature of who God is. We did Advent, the last, love, joy, peace, hope. Does that person have that love, joy, peace, hope in them? Are they in tune with God? You know, I think we don't walk in the fullness of things of God because we don't fully understand and converse with the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I knew everything, I wish I could have walked with Jesus, but that would have meant I would have had to lose my life as well, as the disciples did. And you know, we could all say, I wish we would have walked with Jesus. But there was a standard that happened to the disciples. Each one of them died except for John, I'm sorry. Each one of them, but John went through heck. You know? And they walked out this thing with Christ. And they taught others. They taught others as the church began to grow in the book of Acts. It began to grow. And they taught people how to walk out in the Spirit. How far away are we from that? 2,000 years ago when the church was born. And all the miracles that happened during those times. That the church expanded miraculously. Why did it expand miraculously? Because there were signs and wonders, and the power of the Holy Spirit was raging through the earth. It was just literally raging through the people. They were hungry after the Holy Spirit. They were hungry after who Jesus said would come. And when it infilled them, they were infilled with power and might. It says dunamis power, dynamite power that they were filled with. Have you been filled with the dynamite power of God? Have you, you have if you have the Holy Spirit in you. But we do not activate the present or the gift that God has given us because we stay in this place of timidity. They were in a place of boldness. And the Holy Spirit will give you boldness to walk out the things that he's called you to do. And here's the thing. We as Christians, as a church, as a believer, are you using your gifts inside of this building to help others inside this building? If you're not, then you're putting your gift back in the closet and not using it. If you have a gift of prophecy and you do not use it, that gift has been sitting in the closet and you're not using it. What good is that gift? Because it is supposed to be edify the body of Christ. If you have a gift of healing in your hands, in your body, and you're not using it, then you are not glorifying God. And the gift that you just basically stuck it back in the closet and said, no, I'm not going to use it. You know, here's another gift the Holy Spirit gives you is the gift of tongues. And there might be some controversy about the gift of tongues. But there's a time when I don't know what to pray. And there's a time I don't understand what God wants to do in the earth. And I begin to pray. And I begin to seek God. And I begin to pray in tongues because I don't know what else to pray. And then all the Holy Spirit will move in that direction. He prays for me. It's like the red line, as Steve said, it's the red line to the throne. As I've heard my mom get on the red line to the throne before and just begin to seek the Father through things that I don't understand. But we need to use those gifts that have been given to us. So the question is today, how do we walk in the fullness of things of God and the fullness of the calling or assignments on our life and our church's function or calling in our community? How do we function as a church? How do we function as a body of Christ in our community, walking out with the gifts in the closet or stuck somewhere else, hidden away where we can't find them? How do we walk out and do the things that God has called us to do as a body of Christ or as believers individually and leave our gifts of the Holy Spirit put away in a room? We absolutely can't do anything for the kingdom of God if we put our presence that God give us into a closet or into a basement or into an attic and never use them. There's absolutely nothing you can do. God has given you gifts to use for the functioning of the church, functioning of the body of Christ in the earth, but it's also the functioning of the lost, where you can go out and lay hands on the sick, and you can go out and prophesy over them, and you can go out and break bondages off of them. You can cast out demons in over them. You can break them free of the bondage that is in them, but we choose to leave our gifts in the attic. So do we impact our community? How do we do that? By prayer and by the power of the Holy Spirit active in our life. That's how we impact our community. We got to impact our church. We got to impact each other, but we got to impact our community by the Holy Spirit. It is not by your will. It's not by your own understanding. It's by the Holy Spirit power in you that you can walk out and perform the things that He wants you to do. You cannot do it of yourself. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you. You have to be in tune with Him. It's like tuning in that radio. If you do not tune in that radio, you're not going to get the station. And so many times we don't tune in. We're not tuning in. And Sonny knows this as he's on that, what do you call it? It's a ham radio. And he has to tune in to get at those people. He knows the frequency that they're on. And once he gets that frequency from Germany or wherever he's talking to, and it can just be talking to like norm, just like you're across the street. You got to tune in to Holy Spirit. See, the disciples were impacted by the Holy Spirit when He came at Pentecost. They impacted the city of Jerusalem, then throughout the known world at the time. They were impacting everything because of the Holy Spirit. Before the Holy Spirit come, what happened when Jesus died on the cross? Where did they go? They scattered, right? They scattered. Even when Jesus came to them 3 days later, they still scattered. And where did He find them later on? He found them at the Sea of Galilee doing what? What they used to be doing. He found them fishing again. And then He shows up and He ascends to heaven. This is after 40 days after He rose from the dead. He found them in the Sea of Galilee fishing again. Where Jesus has brought you out of, don't go back to where you've been. You need to move forward because God has things for you to do in this earth. But we cannot just sit on our hands and put our presents away and say, well, this Christmas is over. Let's go to the next Christmas and I'll see what I get then. Because you've wasted your time on the gift that He'd given you already. So we need to continually move in the gifts that He has given us. How many people have that one gift that you just wore out? You ever have that gift that you just wore out? I mean, so it might be a train set, it might be an airplane, it might be tools or whatever. You know, guys get tools and we tear stuff up, right? We wrench on stuff, we tear them. They got to be craftsmen so we can take them back, right? Lifetime warranties. We need to wear out the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to wear it out. I mean, wear it out like you would wear something, like if you wear a shirt. I still wear some shirts that are 20 years old. I ain't quite wore them out yet, and they fit really good. You need to wear that shirt out. You need to wear it out. Know it. I know every wrinkle or rip in that shirt or my jeans, whatever it is. You know everything about that gift. I won't be too much longer, but I wanted to make sure the kids had plenty of time to party back there. And I wanted you to understand that there's some gifts maybe you have not opened yet in your life. that you need to open up and let the Holy Spirit move in you, and let him move in the community, let him move in your families, and let him see what he can do. Because you know what? Me and you of ourselves can do nothing. Me and you of ourselves cannot change the world. We cannot change the city. We cannot change our family on our own. But with the Holy Spirit power in us, when he energizes us, he can change everything about us. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that when the disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost, what it said, like there was days later that it said they had to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they poured everything out that they had, but the Holy Spirit gave them, and they went back and said, Holy Spirit, I need more of you. I need more in filling of you. And what did? They got filled again and went out and emptied themselves out again. And then They got filled again. And then they went and emptied themselves out again. And so it's part of being filled and emptied, filled and emptied, filled and emptied, because you got to pour out what you receive. If you don't pour out what you receive, how can you get more? We played a game yesterday. It was a pretty neat little game. My sister come across it. Everybody gets a cup of water. And there's this chalice or chalon or whatever the thing is. It holds quite a bit of water when you look at it. So everybody has a cup, and you get so much water in your cup, and then you take turns. There was 14 of us, and you take turns, and you pour so much of your water in the cup, and you go around, and you follow each other. You pour so much of your water in the cup until it gets to the top. Now, if you run out of water, you're out of the game. So if you pour all your cup in at once, you don't get no more water. You're out. But if you keep, you might just put a drop in the first time. You might put however much you put in, and eventually you get to the top. And the person that put it in last wins, because the next person, if he puts it in and it rolls out of the glass, you lose. And I watched people just barely putting the drop in. They still had water in their cup. Everybody was conservative that they didn't dump all their water out. But here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you what, you can get fresh water. You can get fresh Holy Spirit. So empty out your glass that you have and let it be poured out. In that game, in a worldly game, it says you want to keep some water with. You want to keep some water left so you can be the last one to put that little drop in. The next person would put some in and it would overflow and they would lose. But you know what? I'm not going to go there. What I'm saying is empty out your glass, because Holy Spirit will fill you up again and again and again and again. There's so much authority that we have. Lester Summerall. Does anybody know Lester Summerall? He's passed away now, but a great, great evangelist. He was in his room sleeping one night, and just nice and comfortable sleeping, and all of a sudden this spirit or demonic or Satan came into his room. It blew the windows open in his house and took his bed and shook it and shaked it and moved his bed, and he woke up startled, and he seen this figure, and he knew who it was, and he said, I bind you in Jesus' name, get out of here. And he left. Authority from where? Holy Spirit. But he sat there and thought, he says, Devil, you come back in this room and put my bed back where it was. And you know who showed up? That same entity that left him came back in and pushed his bed back where it belonged and shut the windows when he left. That's how much authority you have in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how much authority that you carry in the earth. That even Satan will know who you are. But we put those gifts in the closet, in the attics, wherever we put them, only just check them out every once in a while. I'm going to move past this a little bit. See, here's the thing. I think I missed it at times. And so I just want to break this down just a minute, and then we'll wrap this thing up. I get caught up in life and other things as I pray. Do you guys get caught up in life? You get caught up in things as I pray to the Father and to the Son? But then I neglect Holy Spirit. I neglect him. The Holy Spirit that Jesus sent here to be our wisdom. I was praying yesterday morning. I had a solar thing I did at 8 o'clock, and I had to go to Kroger's to get some food. And as I was praying in the Spirit, praying to the Holy Spirit, because I've been really making this my effort. See, whenever he showed me the gift that I haven't opened, I've really been making it my effort to understand him and know him. And so I began to pray, and after I got done praying, he highlighted the guy's name in my thoughts, and I texted the guy, and it was God moving. Wouldn't thought of it, but God was moving. And this is where God wants to use you in power like that. I'm not going to get into the conversation, but here you go. He will give you wisdom. Wisdom is understanding, counsel, fortitude. He will give you all these things. I'm sorry. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Here's what wisdom is. Knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action, discernment, or insight. He will give you understanding. Understanding is a perceptive insight with the ability to judge. You have the insight to be able to judge right and wrong. He will give you counsel, a gift of the Holy Spirit through which God speaks to each of us personally and tells us how to behave in order to glorify God. Because this is what the Holy Spirit will do. He will make you so you glorify God. It's not to glorify yourself. It's not to lift yourself up. You're supposed to get low. When you get low, Holy Spirit gets high. You lift up God when you get low. It's not about you. Even if God heals through your hands, if God heals or raises the dead through your hands, you are not to get proud. You are not to get haughty. You are supposed to get humble before the Lord, because it is all of God. If you see God bring someone to salvation, it is not you, but God used you to do it. But it is God himself through the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom and understanding and counsel. He also gives you fortitude, strength of mind that enables a person to encounter danger or bear pain or adversity with courage. He gives us fortitude to press on. He gives us fortitude when we think that if you have someone dead in front of you, do you have the fortitude to press on? Maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your child. Do you have the fortitude to say, you know what, I'm going to bring this person back to life? Do we have that fortitude? Do we have that courage to keep moving forward? He will give you knowledge. Knowledge is the actual ability to do so. It will give you the knowledge, the actual ability to do so. What's that mean? It will give you knowledge how to raise the dead. He will give you knowledge how to lay hands on the sick. He will give you knowledge how to speak truth to someone. He will give you knowledge of a word that will just literally you would never know, but that person would. He will give you that knowledge. That's the things that we use for the Holy Spirit. And then he will also give you fear of the Lord, a deep reverence on awe, a respect for God's power and authority. A fear of the Lord is not fearing him. A fear of the Lord is knowing the power and the might and the authority that he has. Fear the Lord that you do not make mistakes. But here's the thing. You have grace, but don't live in grace, because grace will only get you so far. But the power and understanding of the Holy Spirit will take you everywhere. When you follow the Holy Spirit and you follow his leading, he will bring you everywhere. And I got one more scripture for you, Romans 12, 4 through 11. This will be the Passion Translation as well. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. That's you. Listen to me. That's you. That's every one of you. You have a unique part and function in the body of Christ. Don't just say, well, I just come to church. Don't just say, well, I'm just going to get up and come to church today, because you have a unique function to come into this body and be somebody in this body and be God to someone, to be the Holy Spirit using you through something. Okay? And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body of Christ. That's us, right? We're all mingled together. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to one to others. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us a varying gifts. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, activate your gift by using it, proportion of faith that you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. Listen to this. He's saying do it well. He's saying do it the best that you can. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, they may then you may prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. Don't lift yourself up. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. Let the inner movements of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Listen to that again. Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Don't fake your love. Don't fake your love to people. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers and members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. As you serve Him. The Lord is bringing us into a place of holiness. What does holiness look like? Well, we won't know what holiness looks like unless we really ask the Holy Spirit. He's bringing us into a place because Jesus said He is coming back for a church that is spotless and wrinkless. There's no spot in them. Now, when we say you have the free gift of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. You had to do absolutely nothing except for believe in Him that He sent Him. You have to believe, and the Bible also tells us that if anyone calls on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. That is the gift of God. If anyone calls on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved because God knows his heart. He knows the truth that is in his heart. If anyone believes, you shall be saved. That means when you are saved, Holy Spirit comes and is a free gift inside of you that dwells inside of you. Now, you can let that gift be dormant. You can let that gift do whatever it wants to do, but He will give you knowledge and wisdom when you ask for it. So today, I hope that you have a hunger for Holy Spirit more so than you did when you walked in. When you come into a place, and I want to talk about this probably next week, the altar, the preparation, and the sacrifice. When you walk into these doors on Sunday morning, do you prepare yourself? Or are you just coming in a place of like, I'm going to church today? Holy Spirit is not directing your heart. The Holy Spirit is not moving you except for you walking into a church building and coming in to sing some songs, hear a word, and walk out the door. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you to be the body of Christ in the earth, be the body of Christ in this place, the functioning body, every organ, every capillary, everything moving inside of this building, outside of this building. Because we cannot win a city, we cannot win a community, and we cannot win a body of people if we do not function with the Holy Spirit. We can call upon Jesus all we want to. We can call upon the name of the Lord all we want to if we do not activate Holy Spirit in our life. We have to know Holy Spirit more better than we do. More better. More better. More better. We need to know Him better than we know now. For us to function as a community, for us to see this place on fire that I seen years ago, the place burning but it wasn't burning, the place on fire, for us to have that happen in this place, there has to be a fire of the Holy Spirit in our heart. There has to be a burning for his unction in our spirit. There has to be something moving in us that says, hey, I have had enough of playing the same game over and over, and Holy Spirit, I want to move. I want you to move through me. I want to know you better than I can read the word. I can read the word more, but I want to know your voice. I want to know what you say. When I come into a place of situation that I don't have my Bible with me, I want to know, Holy Spirit, how I'm supposed to react, what I'm supposed to do, and whatever I'm supposed to say. When John and Peter walked up to the gate of Beautiful, and that guy is sitting at the gate, he's begging for alms, and he says, I need some money. And they said, oh, silver and gold, I have none. But Holy Spirit told him, just said, get up and walk. They didn't do anything else but said, get up. What I do have inside of me, what I do have inside of me, says, get up and walk. not because of what they had. It was what was inside of them because the Holy Spirit came and said, now, get up and walk. We have to function with the Holy Spirit more so than we've ever had before. As the time gets short in the earth, and it is getting shorter and shorter and shorter as we watch the signs and seasons come into play, just as he told us, we need to function and act in the Holy Spirit today and tomorrow and every day forward. We need to know him better today. You don't get married and keep the same relationship you had when you first dated. You get married and begin to grow that relationship to know them. That I know every spot and wrinkle on her body. She knows every spot on me. We need to know each other intimately. We need to know, get that close to each other and the Holy Spirit so we know him. Father God, I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit in this earth. I thank you that you had to go away. I thank you that you died and rose on a cross, but you had to leave so you could send the Holy Spirit to bring power and authority in the earth. We know, Jesus, that you could not be everywhere in the earth, but when you went to heaven and you seated at the right hand of the Father and you are there interceding for us, but you sent your Spirit to live within us that you said you would never forsake us, you would never leave us, and Holy Spirit will never leave us. And I thank you, Lord. And I want to repent today that I have not, Lord, used the Holy Spirit or got to know him as well as I should have. Lord, it's been 20 years since I've walked in this relationship with you, and I have not walked as deep as a relationship with the Holy Spirit as I could have. And so, God, I repent. And I know there's others here that have repented as well. And so, Father, we come here as a body of believers. Holy Spirit, you have free reign in this place. We give you permission to give us wisdom. We give you permission to give us hope. We give you permission to work through us that we may know you. Holy Spirit, I pray that your voice becomes loud and strong in our hearts. I pray that it comes to the power of you just begins to radiate through us. Not through shaking, not through this feeling, but knowing you, God. Knowing you, Holy Spirit. Because that is the biggest thing in this earth, is to know you, to walk out the things you've called us to do, to be empowered by you. And when I pour out myself, when I pour out everything that I have, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill us back up. Fill us up over and over and over again. Then we may be able to pour out the Spirit of God in this earth. And Father, I pray over this, over our community, over our church, that we will function as a body of believers, all the gifts that you have placed. I pray that we pull them out of the closet and we get to know those gifts again. We get to know those things that you have placed in our hearts. We get to know those giftings that you have placed upon us. That we function as a body in this place to help each other, encourage each other, to lift each other up, and to love each other. And Father, then as we do that, as we take that outside of these doors, as we bring it into our community, as we show the community the love and compassion that you have for the lost, Father, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fall in this place and upon everyone and every believer that believes in the Son of God. So, Father, I pray as we leave today, Father, I pray over this Christmas season, the day that represents your birth, that we have joy and peace and glad tidings. And we will tell and hark the world and tell them about you. That we will sing from the rooftops that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you are the Magnificent One. And we give you glory and honor today, Father. We bless your holy name. We bless what you are doing today, Father, in Jesus' mighty name.